Okay, we're up to Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel, Chapter 4, Mishnah 3. The Mishnah continues to list a few more takanas that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai made once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Mishnah Gimel says as follows: Barishona haya halulav nitaba mikdash sheva. Originally, it used to be that the lulav, the arbaminim, were taken for all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. Medina yom achad, but everywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it was only taken for one day, right? So the biblical commandment in the Beis HaMikdash was to take it for 7 days. Outside, it was only one day. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Hiskan Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, shehei lulav nital b'medina shiva zeichar l'mikdash. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai made a famous decree that the lulav should be taken everywhere on all 7 days of Sukkot as a zecher, the mikdash, as a commemoration for the Beis HaMikdash. Another takana that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made: we know that chadash cannot be eaten before the Omer offering is brought on the second day of Pesach, and once the Omer offering is brought on that second day, you can start eating the chadash, you can start eating the new crop. However, what happens when there's no Beis HaMikdash? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made another takana, v'shehei yom haneif kulo asur. He made a takana that that chadash is going to be forbidden the entire yom hanif, the entire day of weaving. So that is the entire second day of Pesach. The all chadash is going to be prohibited because there is no opportunity to bring the omer offering. And starting on day three of Pesach, that's when it becomes permissible to partake of the chadash. Mishnah Dalet continues in the same vein, according another takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's, says the Mishnah as follows: Barishona hayu mekablin edos achodesh kol yom. Originally, it used to be that during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, early in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Din would accept testimony for the new moon on the entire 30th day until nightfall. But what happened? Pamachas nishtahu ha'idim et milavo. It once happened that the witnesses ended up being delayed in coming, and the Mefarshim explained that this is actually talking about it was the 30th of Elul that they delayed in coming. And the Levim made a mistake or they did something wrong with the song that they would sing, and the Mefarshim explains during the Tamid offering. So what happened? So explains the Mefarshim that imagine this is the 30th of Elul, and the Levim used to sing songs with the offerings, and so they were singing a song with the Tamid offering, and it came to the afternoon Tamid offering. So what are they going to do? It wasn't Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't declared to be Rosh Hashanah yet. However, it wasn't not Rosh Hashanah, so they decided not to sing anything. So they made a mistake because essentially, after this time, it was established to be Rosh Hashanah, so they realized that they should have done the Rosh Hashanah song, and since they didn't, that was a big mistake, and that was not seen as a good thing. So therefore, Hiskinu Shelo Yehu Mekablin Ela Ad HaMincha. There was a takana made, not by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but by the Chachamim of that time. Again, this is still during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. They said, they made a takana that the Beis Din will only be able to accept witnesses up until the time of Mincha, meaning up until the time the Tamid offering of the afternoon was brought. So if it happened that no witnesses came when the afternoon Tamid offering was brought on the 30th day of Elul, then they would just sing the regular song of the week instead of the special Rosh Hashanah Tamid tune that they would have. But let's say witnesses did come from Mincha and Amr, what would they do? No hagin oso hayom kodesh l'machar kodesh. So it happens to be that, see, nowadays we're very spoiled because we have a set calendar, so we keep the Rosh Hashanah days as we know them to be. But back in the day when they did not have this, so what they used to do was that on this first possible day of Rosh Chodesh, aka Rosh Hashanah, in this situation, they used to assume that this 30th day of Elul was Rosh Hashanah until proven otherwise. But let's say they didn't come until Mincha and they didn't get the chance to establish this new month based on this new Takana. So they would not establish it as Rosh Hashanah. However, let's say after Mincha, the witnesses would come, right? So in other words, they would not declare it as Rosh Hashanah. So but what do? They're like in this limbo state. So no hagin oso hayom kodesh l'machar kodesh. They would treat this day, this 30th day of Elul, as holy, and the next day as holy as well. Meaning this 30th day is not technically Rosh Hashanah, but it turns out that they actually used to keep the customs of Rosh Hashanah. Right? They would have the Isser Malacha, at the very least, a prohibition to do work on this day until the witnesses would come. So they would keep upholding this day as kodesh, as holy, but it would not count as their Rosh Hashanah. And the next day they would establish that as the Rosh Hashanah, and that would be their actual day to go by. But they would keep those laws on this first day as well as a precautionary measure, or essentially not to mess up the system at all. But now we come to the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Oh, and just by the way, it would seem at least at first glance that the Mishnah was talking about in any day that they made this takana. However, based on the latter part of the mission that we just read of Noah and also Hayom Kodesh and Machar Kodesh, they would treat both days as holy. It would seem that, at least based on how I understand this according to the Mefarshim, that this is specifically only in a case of Rosh of Rosh Hashanah. In any other situation where the concern is not as great, they would not have this takana, and seemingly they would accept it the whole day. That's again based on my understanding. Mishachar Beis Hamikdash, when the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and why does it make a difference over here? Because the Levim are not going to sing the wrong song, so there's no concern of that. So Hiskan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehu Makablon Eidos HaChodesh Kol Hayom. Rabbi Yochanan said, let's go back to the original way of doing things. So they would accept testimony the entire 30th day of Elul, and therefore they could establish Rosh Hashanah at any point during the day, even, you know, after the time that the Tamid offering normally would have been brought. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach says, Ozos Tiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I'll give you another decree of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sha'afilu Rosh Basin B'chol Makom, even if the Rosh Basin, the head of the Basin, who he's normally the one who declares the Rosh Chodesh officially, let's say he's any place, meaning he's not in his usual place, he's not together with the Basin, Shelo Yehu Ha'idim Holchen Ela L'mkom Hava'ad. The witnesses who are coming to testify about the new moon, they are not required to go find him. They just go to the regular place where the Basin sits, and even if the Rosh Basin isn't there, it's okay. The other people of the Basin can hear their testimony, and if need be, they can declare the new month, and they don't need to wait for the Rosh Basin. Okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah. Next time we'll continue with Mishnah. Hey, for now, we will stop right here.